So thanks for joining the guided tour of machinery. My name is Mauro Morales. I work with the machinery / Cloud Foundry team, and I will be your tour guide today. Please try to keep your hands inside the vehicle. We don't want you to get hurt or anything. And this is going to be the map that we're going to be, the different sites that we're going to be looking at. First is the machinery inspect command. We're going to learn how to create a system description. Then is the show command, where we're going to learn the two different ways to view a system description. Third, because the weather is really nice, we are going to be able to see some Docker whales. And the fourth command is going to be the compare command, which is probably the one where we're going to see the most interesting things, because we're going to be able to spot differences between systems. And finally, it's going to be the export command, where we're going to be able to take these system descriptions and convert them to Kiwi images or AutoJS descriptions. So the first command, the inspect command, is as simple as just saying machinery inspect and a host name or an IP. And is that readable, or? I'll go a little bit higher. That should be better. Okay, so we ask machinery to go into this system. I need to have SSH access so that it actually works. And machinery has started to inspect the system we want to see. And what's basically happening is that machinery creates an SSH connection with the root user or another user that you can give it, but it needs to be or to have the right kind of permissions. It will then go into, for example, system A and create a system description for system A. And you can keep a list of all these descriptions. So you can have, for example, system A, system B, and all the different systems that you want to have. And but the other interesting thing is that you can have one same system, for example, like system description C, where we have the same system just in different times, different states in different times. And that's pretty much it. We can look at it. It's still taking a while to finish. But I have a few copies here, so you don't have to wait for it. I'll just stop it for now. But you can see, if I do machinery list short, you can see all the system descriptions that I already have on my system. And of course, this can take some time, especially depending on how big the system is. So now that we have one inspected system, let's see what's inside of that system. For example, if I wanted to see what's inside machine in the Leap, a system installed from the Leap DVD. And I can see the first thing it tells me is the operating system, which is, in fact, an OpenSUSE Leap 42.1. Then I can see the list of packages. This is the text view of a system description. And it's probably the most useful when you're working in the command line. But we also have a HTML view, and I will talk about it in a minute. I just want to describe a little bit what's happening here. And it's just that inside of a system description, machinery groups things together into things that we call scopes. For example, one scope is the operating system, where we save the information regarding the operating system. Another scope is the packages, where we have a list of all the packages. Like I mentioned, machinery will SSH into this system, and with, for example, RPM, it will get a list of all the packages that are inside of a system. Same thing with patterns, but in this case, instead of using RPM, it uses zipper, for example, and so on for all the different other scopes that we manage. The nice thing about machinery is that you can also extend these scopes. Machinery is completely open source, so you can write your own scopes and your own way to inspect these scopes. Like I mentioned, you have an HTML view in order to look at what's inside of a system. And we were already looking at the libdvd, I can tell it to look via the HTML view, and machinery will start a server and open a website for me to look at it. As you can see here, this is the system description, libdvd, and I can see all the information related to it. It's separated in scopes, like I already mentioned, so I can go and see, for example, which kind of users are installed in this default installation of lib. I can go and see, for example, which are the change configuration files, and I can even go and see in detail what's inside of one of these files for in some cases, not for every file that you will have here. Okay, so now you've seen the two ways in which you can show a system description. The third is inspecting Docker containers. Here, I will show which Docker images I have. And you can see that, for example, I also have an OpenSUSE lib image. And again, I can say, sorry, machinery inspect container, the name of the image that I want to see, so OpenSUSE lib. And in this case, I will name it something specific, for example, something as creative as Docker lib conf, for example. And I also can even say which kind of scopes I want to inspect. And for this, I will tell it, wait, I think I'm missing an equal here. Let's say I just wanted to check what operating system it has and which packages are there. And you can see that it starts looking into it. This one is much, much faster for two reasons. One, we only checked at two scopes. And second, you can see that it only found 125 packages because Docker images are meant to be much smaller, right? And what's happening here? It's a little bit different than our other inspect command, because machinery first needs to go and look for the Docker image. Then it spins it up, so it runs a container. And in that container, machinery runs the exec command in order to get all the information out of it. In this case, it would also be with RPM checking which kind of packages are installed there. And finally, it creates again a system description. Cool. So now we can get into a little bit more complicated, or not complicated, but more into detail using the compare command. Now we can start analyzing what's happening in what differences are there in two systems. Like I was mentioning, it's interesting to see that there are much less packages inside the Docker image. So let's have a look at that. For example, let's compare the libdvd against the Docker libconf. And you can immediately see here that all of these packages exist only in the libdvd, and of course there are a lot of them. Then I went all the way down, but I can also see that there are three packages which are only existing in the Docker image. So that's also interesting. One of them seems to be OpenSUSE Release Mini. So there seems to be that they are installing certain packages that are specially reduced in size for these images, which is great. But then we don't have more information because I only extracted those particular scopes, but I will show you more into detail. What exactly is happening here? Machinery takes two different descriptions and goes in, through each of the scopes that are existing in both descriptions, and then checks for every difference that it can spot. It will tell you specifically, these are things that are only in one of the systems, things that are only in the other system, and things that are in common, so they are equal in both systems, and things that are, for example, a package that is in both systems but has different version, different release, different vendor, and stuff like that. And all of this for all of our scopes. So you can get an idea of the specific details that are in one system that are not in the other. For this, we also have an HTML view, which can be useful, especially if you're analyzing it manually and not running it in some other command. So we can do compare of these same systems that I was just showing you. Just add the HTML flag. And here we go. First of all, machinery will tell me it cannot compare all these other scopes because I didn't inspect them, but I will still show you with a fully inspected one. You can see here that the operating system is in both OpenSUSE lib, so we don't have differences there, that's great. But here is what I was telling you about the packages. You can see that the libdvd, of course, has 1800 plus packages more, which makes sense. You probably want to have a lot of packages available there. But the Docker image, on different from the DVD, has only 3 packages extra, which are specific for example, here, like I mentioned, the OpenSUSE release mini. Then the other interesting one is there are 3 change packages, for example. And you can see here that both systems use the CA certificates, Mozilla, but they differ in the checksum. It would be interesting to know why, what is there, what changed between one and the other. And then, like I mentioned, there are the common elements. These are all packages that are in both images, and that they have absolutely no difference. They have the same version and everything. Now, let's go and play a little game. Let's find out, let's spot the differences between, just like what we were doing, but going into more detail. So we want to see what are really the differences between lib and a Docker lib. Well, first of all, like we mentioned, first let me show you a completely inspected Docker lib. Okay, so this one has all the scopes, as you can see here, they are all available. And the obvious part was there are many less packages in the Docker lib. This makes sense, you want to make the image much smaller, right? But let's have a look, for example, at the change manage files. Oh, because the screen is a little bit too small, you cannot see here, but here it's meant to say deleted. You can see there, down in the bottom corner. And you will see that there are a lot of deleted files. And if you start looking into detail what these files are, you can check that most of them are .mos. So they probably deleted all the translations. If you're running a Docker container, you probably don't need it. You have them in your main system, and the idea with the Docker container is that you run as small as possible, right? So it makes sense why they want to remove this kind of information out of the image. What else? Vagrant. There's a lib version of Vagrant. You can download it from, oh, shouldn't be happening. There. So if you go to atlas.hashicorp.com, OpenSUSE, you will see all the images that are offered to download via Vagrant. This is very helpful when you're developing. For example, here I have the Vagrant file, and all I need to do is to set this line in my Vagrant file, and it will immediately download the OpenSUSE lib or OpenSUSE Tumbleweed, for example, and I can start immediately doing development in one of these machines. But again, what is different between those machines and the installation from the DVD? Let's find out. Vagrant lib. Again, you can see it's the same operating system. There's nothing changing there.
packages.
Of course, they also want to make it much smaller, because otherwise you would have to download the entire DVD. That wouldn't make much sense. But they also add a lot more packages than in the Docker image, for example. And why is that? We can see, for example, that they have Git. That makes sense, right? You are going to be doing development inside of it, so you probably want to have Git. We can also see that they have Ruby gems. Chef is there. Okay, that makes sense, because you can use Vagrant to do configuration management into that machine, so it's necessary that it's there. And you can spot things like this between your own systems with machinery, which is great, because you can tell, okay, do we have the right machine for sharing across our team for Vagrant, for example, or should we make our own image? Should we use one that is on the internet, but put some additions in there? Perfect. So another question here. The differences between Leap and Tumbleweed. I mean, it's kind of obvious that we expect that packages are newer in Tumbleweed, but are there any other differences that we can spot? And for that, I also have a Tumbleweed DVD installation, I think. Maybe not. Oh, yeah. Okay, now we can see immediately, the first time we see that the operating system is different. We have here OpenSUSE Leap on the left and Tumbleweed on the right. Sorry, one thing I didn't mention is you can see that machinery pretty much splits the page in two. On one side, you will see everything that is related to Leap. On the other side, you will see everything that is related to Tumbleweed. Again, packages. There are a few packages that are only in Leap. There are a few packages that are only in Tumbleweed, but the difference is not that big. But now we see this big number here. There are a lot of change packages. What happened there? And it looks like our assumption is correct. Image Magic, for example, it's simply newer in Tumbleweed. So the version in Leap is 6.8, the version in Tumbleweed is 6.9. And so on with all these other different packages. They are either the version is newer or it's a different release, and so on. Users, for example, you can see that there are a couple extra users that appear only in Tumbleweed but not in Leap. This is a default installation, by the way. I haven't really played with it much. Groups also related to the users that we just saw. So there are a couple of extra users there. But in general, it seems it's quite a similar, so they don't differ too much, except for you got the latest of the packages in your Tumbleweed, which is great. Okay, now I want to show you another command called export. We will start by doing the export kiwi command. Actually, I will just show you that one because it will be faster as well. Machinery export kiwi, and we need a kiwi directory where we're going to put it. For now, let's just put it in temp osc 16. We can hit an equal here. Let's export the Vagrant Leap machine and see what happens. Great. So now I have exported this description. And if I go into this directory, first of all, you can see this README to give you an idea what you can do with this exported information. And you can see down here that you could run this command in order to build this generated description or generated configuration so that it creates a machine for you. I could run this, but it can take around 5 minutes or something like that. So I previously already had one version for you, and you can see it here. It's the... Oh, wait. Sorry. Vagrant, I saved it here, Vagrant Lib. And you can see that Kiwi built a QCow machine for me, which is great because then I can simply just go to Libvirt and start this machine. And that's exactly what we're gonna do. I don't need this machine here. This is the KiwiLib machine. I already have it there. It just needs to get started. In the meantime, let me show you. Basically, what happens here is that machinery takes the system description and it will convert it to either a Kiwi or an AutoJazz configuration file, which you can define depending on the command that you use, either export Kiwi or export AutoJazz. And this can be quite helpful. For example, if you wanted, if you have a an old version of a machine, an old description, an old state that you would like to see, you just put it into a Kiwi image. You use Kiwi to build the image, and then you already can run this machine. You don't actually have to save the machine to do it. Because this was generated from a Vagrant machine, you can see that we don't start with the GUI. That's normally in Vagrant, for example. And I even have the users, so in order to log in, I need to use Vagrant. And one characteristic of Vagrant, for example, is that it syncs or it mounts the folder where you're working. So, and it puts it into slash Vagrant. So if I go, for example, to slash Vagrant, you will see the files that I had in the copy that I was using to develop. And if I move on my machine into that folder, which is this one right here, where I showed you the Vagrant file, you will see exactly that, that I have a Docker file there and a Vagrant file. And if you see here, they are exactly the same files. So the entire image pretty much was generated, not only the expected packages that should come from the distribution, but also the extra stuff that you put in there that you need for development. Okay. Cool. So we've seen pretty much all the commands that I wanted to show you. And the idea in machinery is that all these commands will get together and make machinery more powerful, and give you the ability to do additional tasks that you're already doing as a system administrator. It's not meant to replace the current tools that you're already using, but instead kind of give you additional tools. So for example, doing these comparisons can be really nice, especially if you're trying to migrate a system, or if you want to find out about the packages that are being used in a completely different distribution that you don't know. In this case, machinery can inspect Red Hat, can inspect Ubuntu, can inspect CentOS. So you can have all these different images next to each other and see what are the differences between them. Some use cases that I would like to talk about are, for example, you can quickly check a state of a system. So, yeah, I mean, instead of doing this, you could keep backups of all your systems, and you could just go and find where you have that backup. You can start the machine, and you can go and specifically check which version of a package was installed, or what was the state of a certain configuration file. Instead of that, you can just use machinery. For example, I have my list of machines here. I keep, for example, copies of my machine, the changes that I did in the upgrades that I've done in Tumbleweed for the last three changes, for example. And I could go immediately and see what was the version of a package for Tumbleweed of the 12th of June this year. So machinery show, we put this one in particular. And we can see, I don't know, Image Magic, what version was it running back then? And you have it right here. You don't have to start the machine from scratch and everything. It saves you a lot of time. Another use case could be for configuration management or Docker files validation. So having an example with a Docker file, you can see here. This Docker file will basically just install OpenSSH, LESS, and machinery into a Docker image based on OpenSUSE Lib. This, of course, is quite small. I am based directly on the original image, but many times you actually base your Docker files on some other image that you don't really know what's happening in there. And you could use machinery to check out the results of the built image and see that it actually has the changes that you want and that it doesn't have some other code that you wouldn't like to have there, or some packages or some users or something like that. And for that, I have, I think I got it here. Yeah, so I have, for example, the Docker machinery, and I can see specifically the packages that were installed there. Oh, sorry, I would have to compare it, right, to the base Docker image. So I can say compare Docker Lib image and Docker machinery. In theory, it should have only those three packages, but of course, those packages have dependencies. So we see that it installed a couple of other things. So machinery is there, OpenSSH is there, LESS is there, and all these other packages that are dependent either on one of these three also get installed there. But the interesting thing is you see that in this case, also, for example, the repository for machinery was added, but nothing else. I don't see anything strange happening. I can check that there were no changes from the original machinery image that would affect the resulting Docker machinery, sorry, the original Docker Lib image to the Docker machinery image. Another use case, for example, could be that you could find out if one of your servers was tempered, right? If you compare it, if you keep constant descriptions of your system, you could compare to a previous time and say, okay, something weird started happening. Let's see how was it before. And I'll show you a little bit of that. I've prepared these images specifically for that. So it's going to be, let me just show you. So tempered before I called it and tempered after. Let's look at it on the HTML view. And like I said, I prepared these images specifically, so it's going to be very obvious. You will see the differences, obviously. But for example, there's one user that only exists in the server after it was tampered. And so, okay, who created this user? Why did it happen? Unmanaged files. You can see that there is just one one shell script file that was created after the server was tampered. Why is this? You know, it's suspicious already. What is this doing? Also, I can see that the boot grub boot part CFG file is there in both systems, so before it was tampered and after it was tampered, but there are some differences in the size of it. So machinery can, you can quickly see here what are the what's the diff between one and the other, and I can see, for example, that certain code was added into this file. So you, it can help you spot out differences much easier than if you would have to go manually in one and the other. Even though, of course, like I mentioned, I specifically prepared this one to be really easy to spot on. Another example could be if you have a failed migration, for example, that you can, you have a machine that you're running as a virtual machine or as a hardware machine, and you want to move it, for example, to AWS. And I think I have the example here. Wait. So failed migration before. And I'm going to compare it to the failed migration after. Okay, again, I prepared this one to be easy to spot. But one thing that you see is that after the migration, there is this package here, the kernel EC2. That makes sense. I wanted to move it to AWS, so it needs to have a kernel specific to those EC2 instances. But I should also have the package that was the kernel that was only for the previous system here, and I don't have it. You can see it here, but that means that it's still installed in both machines. I wouldn't really need to have the kernel Xen after I already migrated. Why is this happening? If I check on my unmanaged files, I can see that there's also this file that exists only after the migration. And it's a migration, right? It shouldn't, there shouldn't be weird files out there just because. And you're trying to copy pretty much everything. You just want to change what is specific to the infrastructure. And in this case, we see that the boot do purge kernels is there. What this could have meant is that when the migration was happening, and the system failed to remove kernel Xen, and therefore it never removed this file. This file is, when this file is here and the system is booted, the system knows, okay, I need to remove the old kernel that I find in this machine, but it wasn't able to do it. So at least it gives you an idea of how to find these issues easily. Again, if there were many changes, of course, it would be a little bit harder to spot these specific differences, but it would be much easier than if you are trying to guess out of the blue. And there are, of course, more use cases that you can come up, and or maybe there are some use cases that you have as a system administrator or as a developer, and it would be great if we can discuss about them or see how machinery could help you with that. So that's pretty much what I had prepared for you, and if there are any questions, I would be happy to take them. Okay, no questions? Mario?
So how much storage does an inspected machine consume on the machinery?
Okay, so the question is how much storage does it take to have a system description, right? Right. Well, it will depend on the system, right? What's inside the system. It will also depend if which scopes you decided to take from that system, and it will also depend if you decided to extract files out of that system. So I can give you an example in my whole machinery folder for what I just showed you today. It's 89 megs for all these base images, so it's actually quite small. If for some reason you have VMs or something like that in your server, well, and you extract those files, then it will take whatever that amount of space was. But the nice thing is that machinery will not save, for example, the configuration files or manage files. Machinery will check, and if they haven't been changed, it will not make a copy because it's the default from the RPM installation one. Only if it's changed, then it will make a copy. Any other question? Okay. Well, that's pretty much it. Thank you very much. If you are interested in machinery, you can just go to the machinery page here. We have more information about it. Or you can simply check the code in GitHub or write us an email to the mailing list or to my personal email. Thanks.
Nu te trebuie să te If you know anything, if you don't already know everything that I'm saying, I'm worried.
Well, wait, let me take... avoiding disasters. Okay. So, you expect to have some questions? Or not?
I expect you to help me answer the questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. Yep.
Ruim mais tempo, por favor, a gente não dá a pergunta. Deixa a empresa um pouco mais no seu lado. A gente vai ter uma
Uite, de exemplu, dacă România a reușit, noi l-am arătat de la mulți oameni în acest moment. Noi depindem, ei au nevoie, noi depindem. Ei au avut de până la urmă. Și nu aveți interes după tot semnul de cultură în România sau în Spania, dar aveți români. Și distrugi bătate.
Și
de ce nu?
Nu poți să am dublă ce vezi, nu iau nimeni europeni, nici eu nimeni. Și nu poți să fiu bogat și român în același
timp. Și ceva îmi spune că nu o să fie bine, adică nu a fost bine prea mult timp, știi că asta e. Nu se pare că a fost bine prea mult timp, adică liniște așa prea mult timp.
Ți-am zis, cineva are pe pământ. Și eu vreau să-i rup cap. În spălul ăla care sunt sub scopul de a destabiliza situația. Când, dacă tu observi, știi de ce nu ce e chiar despre tine?
Și chiar este asta, dar voi cine sunteți așa ceilalți? Dar noi suntem cehi, mă, da?
Cel mai vestit, rege, care a făcut bine la 700 de ani, el a stat, el a mătat în față și a invitat mereu în spate. Și a făcut bine, dar nici de azi nu a fost. Deci, cumva există. Da, poate nu sunt perfect, sunt
pictori. Și de azi mai apăște cechii, sunt pe așa doi divă cu apă. Și ce că și roșii pe ea, pe ele, este așa pe față. Este tot o cucerie.
De exemplu, la Open Source Records, pe care ai prea o fată la oameni. Eu am vorbit cu lui băieți. Și o să se plină în spate. O fată de aici a câștigat concursul la Summer Super, nu cum să zic, Summer Super.
Da, știu
că de ei se joleau că ei răspans. Că nu e lucrul, nu e altă, că e altă, e zic, bă, să spune, nu care e Moldova, că vedeți ce s-a văzut, că n-ai de mult. Deci fiecare este așa și spate. Acum ar veni de la înălțimea ta.
Păi
n-are finanță de lucru, ce trebuie? Gen în IT și cum n-aveți? Sunt oferte, desoferte în Barcelona și în Madrid. Da, dar nu te tratează. Ce înseamnă? Mă, nu-ți dau fructe? Nu, dar deci nu m-am pus să vezi aici. Înțelegi?
Nu, le dau
bani, mă, le dau. Zic, băi, dar ce, nu poți să iei 500 de euro în Barcelona?
A, e și mai mult.
Uți, dar ce condiții vă căută, nu înțeleg? Da, cu când voi nu mă gândesc, nu mă voi să mă mânci la, să nu ai pauză de masă.
Pare să
depinde de companie de cine știe. De trebuie să te gândești în Barcelona, la sau în Spania, la să te gândești totul să vezi că pe companie din astea, nu să zice, renumite, nu știu de global. Și în posibil, am să gândești o companie de cine și de te gândești în Spania, la pauză de când
Nu uitați
să dați like, să lăsați un comentariu și să distribuiți acest material video pe alte rețele sociale.
happened.